Hi, I'm Renee Champagne.
And I'm Rhonda Sestak.
Please join me and my sister as we discuss horrifying crimes, urban legends, and spooky locations throughout Oklahoma and beyond.
You are listening to Route 66 Fear Fix.
One, two, Freddy's coming for you. Three, four, better lock your door. Five, six, grab your crucifix. Seven, eight, better stay up late. Nine, ten, never sleep again.
Welcome to Route 66 Fear Fix. I'm Renee Champagne, and I'm here with Rhonda.
Hi, all.
And today we are joined by two very special guests. Bob and Sean, say hello, Bob.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
And Sean?
Hi.
Not many words from Sean, and that's shocking. Today we are going to be talking about Freddy Krueger. So we're kind of going a little bit away from what we've normally been doing here, and we're going to just talk about Freddy and the Nightmare on Elm Street movies just a little bit, just to have something a little bit fun and different.
And we brought in our two experts here on those movies. They like them, so they're going to give us their insight on the movies today.
Yes. So, I don't know how many of you guys, you know, when you were a little kid or something like that, do you remember going to the movie store when they existed and looking at all the boxes in the movie store? You remember that, Rhonda?
Yes.
I do.
It was pretty neat to go in there and see some of the covers on the boxes. But
it's a lot more fun back then than it is now just to walk up to a red box or to download something off Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
But so when I was a little kid and the Nightmare on Elm Street movies came out, I wasn't very old. And I remember, at least for us, we went into like Kaleidoscope Video.
Yes, back in the old days.
The door always opened really weird. That's why I remember.
I was in high school when that movie came out, and I saw it at theaters firsthand.
Bob, you're dating yourself. Did you see it in the theater, Sean?
No, I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it on the VHS tape.
All right. Remember when they had Beta also?
I know.
But I remember walking in there, and when my parents would venture over to the scary movie section, the Nightmare on Elm Street box is one that really caught my eye, because I remember it had her face, and then over top of her head was Freddy's glove, his knives or whatever. And that used to just scare me so bad. So what do my parents do? Of course, they rent the movie for us little children to watch.
We never watched Disney movies when we were young.
No, we didn't. This is probably why we're so messed up. Anyway, so this movie came out, Nightmare on Elm Street came out in 1984. And Bob loves these movies. He absolutely loves Nightmare on Elm Street. So yes. Do you want to kind of give us a little background of the movie?
I've always thought that the best ones were the first four. The last two weren't all that great in my opinion, but they kind of got dumb after the first four or five.
I agree, they did get dumb. So what was it about? You want to tell the audience what was it about? Mainly, who was the character? Freddy Krueger?
Yes, Freddy Krueger and Nancy was the...
Nancy, yes.
Was the girl that...
That he... tormented throughout the whole movie.
Yes.
So I was reading, I guess I didn't know too much of the backstory. I didn't even know that they ever talked about Freddy's mom or anything like that. But apparently his mom was named Amanda Krueger. And can you tell everybody what Amanda went through?
She was a nun.
In an insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
In an insane asylum. And she got raped by all the inmates. And that's how that come about.
So basically, no one knew who Freddy's dad was. We all knew who his mom was. So what we know about Freddy then is his mom is a nun. So you've got good. And then his dad is
insane.
One of all of these crazy people. We're not sure which one. So you have good and evil all in one. Even though I don't see the character being that way, I don't see any good in the character.
I don't either.
Well, the character itself is not any good at all. He was actually a child molester that the town took revenge on and burned him inside of a shed. That's the reason why he had all of his scars. And he come back in the dreams of the children to attack all of those who had the blood of those parents that originally burned him.
Right. So he was taking revenge on
Yes, because he was still evil. He was his the dreams that he was invading was his way of letting the children know, I'm still here. I'm still going to get you. Because he always told them, if you told anybody, I'm going to get you.
Yeah, because all the parents come together one night, and that's how he died. And they burned him. They burned him at the I think it was
in the boiler room.
In the boiler room, and that's where he got his claws and stuff, because he had those gloves and stuff were down there.
Yes.
And all and this stuff. So.
Okay, so to go back to his upbringing or whatever, I also found when I was researching that he was adopted by Mr. Underwood. Did you guys know anything about that?
I did not know that.
I don't know if that's just part of.
I've never seen that in any of the movies.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either. So, so the story takes place in Springwood, Ohio. I looked it up on the map. It's not a real place. But Rhonda was telling me that it was in California. The actual house
exists. The actual house they used. I mean, in the movie, the house was 1428 Elm Street. But what the movie used for the house was on, it was in Los Angeles, California. I don't have the exact address. 1428 North
Genesee.
Yeah, in Los Angeles. And it was pretty run down, I suppose, when they made the movies, because a lady bought it, and because of the movie, she went in and restored it, and because people were coming by and taking pictures and stuff due to the movies. So the house itself is real. The town is not. It is not on Elm Street. It is not in Ohio. It's in California, but...
Which is as usual. I mean,
yeah,
people that pick filming locations.
Right.
And so
right.
They're kind of all over the place. I'm sorry, I keep clearing my throat.
Oh, but I don't know. It's pretty cool that you can go by and see the house and see what
it
looks like.
I wish we could see that.
I
guess
too.
You take like a star tour, maybe you get on one of those
buses
and ride around.
Well, she said that's the reason she restored it, is because of the tours and people came by specifically wanting to take pictures. I don't know that she gives tours in the house per
se.
She
probably makes some money.
But she obviously is aware that people are taking pictures and trying to take care of this house. So that's good.
Okay, so I guess we should talk about where the character itself came from. So Nightmare on Elm Street was directed by Wes Craven. I guess it was written by him also, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he actually created the character of Freddy Krueger, and he based it on several stories from the LA Times. And they ran a bunch of stories about mysterious deaths where all of the victims had recurring nightmares and they died in their sleep. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit, about dreams and if you can die in your sleep and all that fun stuff. And Sean, you said that Freddie was a child molester, and that's what I had always thought as well, but when I was doing research, it said that Wes Craven thought that that would be too complicated. I guess there was a lot of child molestation cases happening in California at the time, so he went ahead and made him a child murderer. And he had initially thought of making him a child molester because he was trying to think of the worst possible evil thing he could ever think of to make this man. So, but like I said, he ended up making him a child murderer, which
it's not any better.
No, it's not any better.
One of the points that it's good to remember about the character of Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger was created to be ugly, horrific, and in every aspect about him was created to where that was the last thing you wanted to see.
Your worst
because
nightmare.
Because it was the fear incarnate.
Yep.
And that was what made the character strong in all of his dreams, was the fear. The more fear a victim had, the more he was able to do in these dreams.
And that's why in some of the movies, the way to defeat Freddy was to face those fears.
That's why he went after one of his original victims and everything. In one of the originals, it shows a backflash of him being in a room with her, and he has pictures of her. This is before he was burned. And stuff, and she remembers those pictures, and that's the fear that he has over her, was fear of exposure with those pictures. But her retaliation back to him was like, I don't care, or I'm going to find these pictures and destroy them. And that was her way of instilling the fear within the fear
and taking away his power.
And he had to be killed in the boiler room in the house,
right?
To be dead.
So, and you're talking about his one of his first victims. That brings me back to when I was reading about the background story of him. That we said that he was adopted by someone named Mr. Underwood. So he actually killed his, that was his stepfather, he actually killed his stepdad, and that was supposed to be considered his first victim, and then he became a serial killer. So all of this leads us to talk about, did you have any more background stuff before I move on?
No, not right now. I mean, the other stuff I have about the house, I could think we can do within the movie.
And it was also, this stuff took place in a school.
That is something.
It's in the cellar of a school. In the cellar of a school, a hidden room type thing that nobody really knew of except for Freddy, and that's where he would take the kids.
Yeah, that come
because,
out. Because
it always dealt, in all these movies, it centered around school somehow. And I think that was because
I forgot what the name of the school was.
Wasn't he the janitor
school.
In the school?
Yes, he was. And that's why he would acquire his victims and everything, and he would lure them into this room.
Wasn't he?
In various ways. And so, and then nobody else knew of this room but him.
Right. And see, and everybody, I'll just go ahead and say what I was going to say about the house. You see the house in all the movies, and it's a big thing. It's a big object, or what you connect to Freddy all the time is that house on Elm Street. But technically, Freddy is not connected to the house at all, except the fact that Nancy's mother kept the knife glove that he used to kill the kids with in the house. That is the only connection he has.
And the reason why
that
connection was so strong there was because the knife gloves were his life essence. That's what
was
allowing him to be able to come back time and time again. You know, it was like a haunted glove, she could say. You know?
Right. And as the movies go along, it just seems that everybody assumes that house is haunted by Freddy because of what happened, because the gloves were housed there, you know, by the one of the moms that took revenge on him. But yeah, I thought that was neat.
And another thing that people would associate the house with Freddy, because it seemed like when any of these victims came close to the house, they were the ones that were immediately attacked and killed. And
right.
So, and what it was, it wasn't because Freddy was haunting the house. It was because he was protecting that house. He wouldn't want them to get in there because that was where the source of his life was in those gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he didn't want them to find out the secret and everything and be able to destroy him by destroying the gloves.
Okay, so I have a question. I guess I'm not as versed on all the movies. Of course, I know the first one, but is the house in all of the movies then?
I believe
even
it's in almost
one?
All of
yeah.
them.
Yeah, it shows a flash of it in all of them.
Because it kind of represents, when you see that, it represents
the beginning. It's the beginning.
Where,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so
started.
Even in Freddy versus Jason, is the house in the movie?
Yes.
Yes, it
is.
Yes,
but
is.
I think I saw that there were two movies it wasn't shown in, and it might be the two that got really kind of stupid towards the end of the series that we were talking
you
about.
You were saying
probably.
Like Roseanne was in one of them
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of stupid. And that's and those movies are the ones where they brought in his daughter. You have
right, and I didn't know he had a daughter either. Maggie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I'd like to have a thing where we talk about the Jason and stuff too, because you have Freddy, which is the ultimate villain of the monsters, so to speak.
Right.
And you have Jason, which is a monster, but yet, in a way, he's a heroic monster.
Right. Yeah. And it's neat that they brought the movie Freddy versus Jason. They actually developed that. That was pretty cool that they did that.
Well, since you brought that up too, I think it's interesting when we were talking about like the nun and the insane person being his parents that I don't see any good in Freddy Krueger, but you do see that more in Jason. I know we're not talking about
once
Jason
the one
right
the
now,
Jason
but,
versus Freddy, you really see it.
Well, what I'm saying is Jason didn't kill children.
No, Jason was a victim.
He was a
right.
child himself when he died.
You're right. That
and
is
they
the difference.
They killed him just because he was ugly. He was deformed.
Well, yeah, but I guess that is the difference. Jason was a victim, and Freddy was the victimizer.
And
right.
Jason didn't go after like children. You know, like the children of the people that killed him and stuff like that. Like Freddy did, he went after those that
let
were bullying. That were like the bullies that killed him.
That's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. So going back to Freddy, though, Freddy is, so we know he's the victimizer. We know that he has specifically placed himself in a place where he can be around children to victimize them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder why they do always center it around the house instead of the school then.
They started doing the school
after, one of the later ones, right?
After the sixth ones, when the fifth, they started it in the fifth and then the rest of them
well,
showed
they had
him.
It some in the first because
yeah,
Nancy
they,
saw the... apparition of her dead she was friend in class. And stuff.
That's yeah, right. They just showed it for a little bit then, and then you never heard her see it.
Every movie needs a place of origin.
Right.
You know, and up until the time they showed the school, the house had always been considered the place of origin. You know, that's the way the movie centered around it. But then it broke that up and it showed where the true origin was, which was within the school. And that was a way of keeping suspense going within the movie and stuff too, because they kind of started running out of ideas after about the third or fourth one.
Right.
And all, you know, and then that left to a whole new plot on there. But then later on, when you seen that the one of the fathers showed one of the girls, I believe, the gloves that he had hidden in the cellar of that house. Mm-hmm. And then it was at that point that they revealed that this was the source of his life. And by destroying the gloves, they were able to do away with Freddy coming back into the dreams.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy to think, though, that something... So Freddy's power exists in the dream world, so
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's crazy to think that something outside of the dream world is what can defeat him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or was the glove, because the glove wasn't pulled, we'll talk about pulling things from dreams later too, but the glove actually existed in real life.
Right.
The glove was a way of pulling him out of the dream, and
he's
no longer...
Because in a lot of the movies, when they were defeating him, like in the first one, Nancy had to grab onto him and pull him out of the dream as she woke up to bring him into the real world.
And the same as in Freddy vs. Jason, they had to grab him and bring him out so that
Jason could
get
him.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
So, and I guess we didn't actually specifically talk. We're taking for granted that most people know this movie. But so when kids in the movie, they would try to, they were all having recurring dreams about this evil villain, and they were having these recurring dreams. So, and they finally figured out, hey, I'm having nightmares too. And we're all dreaming about the same creepy guy in a
red and green sweater.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he's got this weird brown dirty hat, and he's burned from head to toe. And they finally linked all that together, and they finally, the truth came out. They're all dreaming about the same
person. Yeah, because before that, some of them were friends, but some of them didn't even know each other. And they had no idea that there was any big covering or big secret that their families were keeping, because all their parents knew each other. All their parents were connected because all their parents were the ones that did this.
Because the police department knew too, and they were covering.
Well, yeah, because it was everybody just did away with him because, you know, they considered him a monster. They said, no matter, in their opinion, no matter what they did, as far as the justice system went, that this man was still going to continue to do what he was doing. So they took justice into their own hands.
And Nancy's father was actually one of the police officers, and that's probably why
he was
the
one that revealed the gloves. Nancy's
house.
Father, yes.
So
I think it was actually her mom.
Yeah, it was the mom that took her down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
but,
showed her, but that's the reason the glove was there, because her father was the police officer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty weird. But, I mean, with the house, it followed through the second movie, where the kid that moved into the house, Freddy tried to come out in the real world through him.
That's right.
With his powers and stuff, to come out through him and stuff. And I can't remember exactly how they defeated him in that one, though.
The second one mainly was on the school bus.
That's right.
Right.
And they took him... Freddie took him on a ride on that bus. All the kids were on the bus, and he took him off in the desert.
That's right.
Right.
And man, it's been a long time since I've seen
him. I don't remember how they defeated him in that one too.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I guess they never really defeat him if he can come back all the time.
No.
But I know these are movies.
The only one that actually beat him was Jason.
Yeah, that was, and I think that was a closure, a way of being able to close out the series of Nightmare on Elm Street. To keep it from dragging on, you know, because like Friday the 13th, you have so many of them. Same thing with Halloween, you have so many of them. But yet, there's the creators of these movies and stuff, they still continuing to have enough good ideas and to be able to tie into the old and bring with the new. And so it was as the ones of Nightmare on Elm Street, they kind of started running out of ideas there for a while. It kind of got,
goofy.
You know, so they needed a way of closing it out. Well, how do you close out an immortal?
Yeah.
Well, you got to have another immortal killing. How do you kill pure evil with pure evil?
Because but I don't really think Jason was pure evil.
Well, he wasn't at the beginning, but I think there toward the end he did, because then he got to where instead of it just being specific people, it was anybody that got in his way.
It still wasn't children, though.
You know, no, he didn't. Except, he didn't target specific. Specific.
Well, I hate getting into Price.
You know, Freddie,
yeah, I want to rein it back.
Yeah, Freddie targeted teens. The teens. Right. You know, specifically, yeah. he didn't mess with the adults and stuff like that, you know, as much. His target was the kids,
because he wanted to take away what they loved.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And also, most of those kids were also his victims when he was alive. That's the reason why the parents killed him.
No, he was a child murderer.
Well, actually, I'm just saying in the
one movie, I think I know what you're talking about. Wasn't it in the first movie? Wasn't it, if I'm not mistaken, Nancy had an older sister that was a victim of Freddy's?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Each one of them was either a victim or tied to a victim of Freddy when he was alive.
Right, I think you're right on that.
You know, this is before the plot turned from, you know, him being a child molester to actual child murderer.
Right.
You know, and stuff. So his revenge was he was coming back to claim what he thought was his anyway, you know?
Right.
And that, and to take away from the parents the things that they love because they took away his life.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think you're right. I think Freddy versus Jason makes an appropriate conclusion to the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Let's talk about the ridiculousness of the remake.
Yes.
Did anybody like the remake?
I watched it one time.
I tried to watch it and I couldn't.
It's nowhere.
I think it was a lot darker.
It was a lot darker. And the one thing about Freddy is that he had this kind of...
Freddy had a sick humor.
Right. Mm. He had this...
perverted humor.
Yeah.
But it would make you laugh. You knew it was highly inappropriate, but you know, you'd laugh anyway because... It was in the middle of a suspense line. You know, like you would be like... What is he going to do? And I was like, hey, come over here, lay right here, or something, you know, and you just laugh because it broke.
Or, you know, there was a scene in the fifth one where he's in that hospital for kids, and the girl is watching TV in the waiting room, and he pulls her through the TV.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
So what I want to talk about is... So even when you go to haunted houses now, or you go to haunted things, what is the most iconic villain you see there? It's always Freddy Krueger. And why is he so terrifying to us? If he is kind of a silly humor and a sick humor, and why do you think he's so scary?
He's the representation of nightmares.
Yes.
Every dream he goes into or was into turned out to be a nightmare. And 90% of them turned out to be a deadly nightmare. You know, and one of the things that people fear the most are horrific dreams. Dreams are so real in your mind because your brain is seeing it as if you were actually living it. You could feel it, you could hear it, you could smell it, you can taste things in there. And when you wake up, you still can feel something touching you, or you could hear the vividness of the sounds and voices. And sometimes you can even still smell the smells that you smelled in there, as if they were right there, and it actually takes you a few seconds to look around, like, okay.
What's going on? It's that.
And now you're afraid to go. Now you're afraid to go to sleep. Therefore, in the song in the beginning where it says "Stay up late," you know, you don't want to go to sleep because you don't want to have that nightmare again. That was Freddy's key. He would keep them fearful of going to sleep, and with that fear was also the remembrance of him. And all, so the fear was growing even more. So then when they did fall asleep, he had complete, total power over them.
Right, because that's a childhood fear.
So that's why Freddy is represented in a lot of haunted houses. Haunted houses, you want to be the things that nightmares are made out of. Well, what better way than the Nightmare King himself, the Nightmare Maker.
Right.
You know.
The way that I kind of look at it, I know this is silly, I like to sleep, I like to take naps. I don't know about anybody else, I know Rhonda probably. When I get super stressed out, the way I cope with things is you shut down.
Right.
Go to sleep and restart.
Mm-hmm. Well, in these movies, you know, you're so stressed out, you're scared of Freddy, you can't even go to sleep. You can't go anywhere to get away from him. He's there when you're awake, he's there when you're asleep. So there's no...
And he leaves them vivid reminders from time to time in there. When that, like, they would doze off and he would be there and then they would wake up. He was constantly saying, as soon as you close your eyes, I'm here. Right. I'm here. Constantly building that fear.
They would go to such extreme lengths in the movies to stay awake, too. I mean, just think if you were...
Coffee.
Well, yeah. if you knew that you fell asleep and you knew that as soon as you fall asleep, you're going to die, what would you do to stay awake?
I mean, they were really motivated. Yeah. She was drinking, or she was eating. She wasn't even drinking. She was eating the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even diluting it with water. But
okay, so anything else about the movies, guys?
They're fun to watch.
I just thought it was ironic that as dark as Freddy was, that he actually became like a icon, a hero type. To those who like horror movies, to those who like
Bob,
yeah, to those who just like the weird sick humor that he had.
Well,
you know,
he wasn't your
like, you know, kids dressing up in Halloween and stuff. You know, someone dressed as Freddy and stuff like that. And then I can't get out of my head about the background of who Freddy was. And when I see that, I'm like, wow, I wonder if they even understand what type of character Freddy was.
I don't think they do.
Because most people just think he was just somebody, some boogeyman that haunted the dreams and stuff like that, you know, and killed people and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, they don't realize that he was, you know, in one fashion or form or another, he was a child predator.
Right.
You know.
And that's, yeah.
And it's crazy, though, that this came out in 1984 and even our children know who Freddy Krueger is. He's a very iconic... I mean, and there's only a handful of those horror movies.
And when my son sees somebody dressed up as Freddy Krueger for Halloween, so he don't even want to go by him. It freaks him out. And it's weird because in the other time he'll look at stuff or whatever like that, but when it comes to the Freddy Krueger character, he's like, Dad, there's a Freddy over there. You know?
Mm-hmm. So, you always wanted to dress up.
Well, I always kind of liked the movies. I thought, because the reason why they were so good is because he's not your average killer or serial killer. You know, like all the rest of them is just basic serial killer.
Yeah, you have like a lot of them. I guess a lot of suspense in them. You know, they just you know, they creep around and stuff. And Jason was one of those. You know, it just
a lurker.
You can hear you hear the music coming, and then you know, and all of a sudden you're like, what the. You know, and then all of a sudden he would just appear somewhere. You know, same thing with Halloween. You know, the Michael Myers just appear around the corner and there he is with a knife.
Hey, he's the most awesome ever.
Yes, I agree.
But Freddy wasn't like that.
Freddy,
there was a buildup. He started off, you see glimpses of him and stuff like that. He didn't just appear somewhere. He was there all the time.
Right.
You know, and stuff. So it was just crazy because your sense of suspense held on an entire time. It's like, you know, he's going to kill somebody. You know, he's going to kill somebody. How is he going to do it? What's he fixing to do? Or is he going to say, like, just joking, you know, or something like that, you know?
And he always killed him in the most.
Like that one, the one that always bugged me when we had those old rotary telephones was it in the first one or second one where she's talking on the phone and his big tongue comes out?
Yes. Or the one where he, like, his fingers turns into hypodermic needles and he sticks them into that, you know.
Or when she's in the bathtub and then
it comes out.
And what he did with that is he played on people's addictions and vanities.
That's true.
Or where he killed Joey in the waterbed when he took him under.
Yes, that one was...
He took secrets. He took the secrets of those of the kids that he attacked. He took the secrets of them, and he used that in his dreams to intensify their fears, to intensify the drama of the whole thing.
Yes, it was a production when he killed
because
somebody.
He was not only the representation of their nightmares, but he was the secret of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how he looks in Blu-ray high def. That's a good gift for Christmas.
What about three dimensional? You know.
Oh, did they have any 3D that ran on the street?
Yes, they did.
The last one was Freddy and was 3D.
Not Freddy.
I would like to see the first
one. I think that was the one with Tom Arnold and Murphy.
Yeah, that was the dumbest one.
I would like to see the very first one in 3D.
Oh,
did they do a like 30-year anniversary or anything of that? You know how I hear lately they've been bringing movies back to the big screen for their big anniversaries?
No.
I don't know, but
or
I've been...
20th or...
No, they didn't do anything.
I would like to find the box set on Blu-ray.
If anyone out there has the box set, just
Bob
message
would like
us.
That.
Okay, so these movies obviously lead us to, you know, so how much of this stuff in movie land could actually be real in real life, right?
Right.
So I wanted to find out, can you actually, if you die in your dream, can you actually die in real life? And what I found was that you can't actually die in your dream because your mind has no way to imagine what that would be like because you've never died. Now, I know you can die in your sleep, but, I mean, I guess we'll never know if someone dies in their dream and dies in real life because they're not here to tell us.
Yeah, because your dreams are your mind's imagination of things that you've experienced and seen. What the difference between dreams and nightmares is that it becomes a distorted version of that reality. Like with me, when I was younger, I didn't learn how to swim until I was 17. And the reason why I learned how to swim is somebody just threw me in a pool one day. And it was either sink or swim. You know, and I was fortunate enough that I picked up on swimming. I became a very good swimmer after that. But one of my biggest fears was always is that I might get too tired or get a cramp. Now, I might be one of those people that, he could swim excellently, but he went down and never came up. Well, one of my recurring nightmares was that I would drown. I would go under the water, and it's like I couldn't breathe and wake up gasping for air. And then sometimes I would go under the water, and it's as if I could breathe under the water. You know, and at that point, I think it was my conscious and my subconscious merging enough to where my mind knew that I was, it's okay, in actual reality, I'm not in water, you know, but this image that I'm seeing in my dream is still there enough to tell me that I'm underwater, you know, and I would wake up from those dreams and only to find out that I was still asleep, and then I would wake up again and I was like, whoa, you know, it was weird because it took the fear I had and it took the reality of it. Which is the reality of it, is that I'm okay in water.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I could breathe when I did go under. But my fear was that I would go under and never be able to come back up. You know? And, it's just so weird like that. You know, and you hear instances of people, you know, like bringing stuff out of dreams.
That's what we're going to move on to here in a minute. But I wanted to say is, I think if someone did die in their dream, because we have physical responses when we're having nightmares. Our heart rate increases, our breathing increases. We have those physical symptoms. So I think if someone were to die in their dream, it would be because of like an actual heart attack or something like that.
Well, I'd like to add something that I found when I was researching. I know we talked about where Wes Craven got the idea for the character or the show from, but he had given an interview with Walter Magazine at one point, and he had told the story of some refugees from Cambodia, from the killing fields in Cambodia that had come back to the United States, and they had like 100 men of these refugees that died in their early 30s, and the only thing in common they had was that they all reported having the same recurring dream. They were all healthy, but the only thing that they reported is they all had the same recurring dream. And there, I guess there is some Cambodian lore or something, that it could be like a night hag or something that would hold them down in their dreams and kill them that way. But this was also led into some of the, what do you call it, persona or mystery that is Freddy Krueger, because some people had actually died. They don't know if it was from dreams, but they couldn't come up with a physical cause for them dying. That was the only link they had in common, was a recurring dream.
Well, I have to agree with what Renee said about if you die in your dream, you die in reality, because the only way for your mind to be able to project a death in your mind is as if he's experienced it. Mm-hmm. And right. if he's experienced it, well, then you've died.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I only brought that up because that was, I guess, something that had happened by the time when he was looking to write this movie and stuff. Right. But they never could determine why.
But the only thing is that that's one of those questions that it can only be a theory, because right. you know nobody's going to be able to tell about their own death. You know. So.
Yeah. That's true.
So.
So we want to talk about, Sean brought up pulling things out of your dream. I know you found some stuff on that, Rhonda.
Well, I didn't find any like scientific evidence that it could be done, but there were some stories of people who have done this. They swear they pulled stuff out of their dreams. I read the story about this little boy who had a dream about like a mansion or an estate. And he dreamt that he was unlocking all the doors with the master key in this place. And when he woke up, he had the key in his actual hand. And he had never seen the key before, ran and told his mom and dad. And they were all just amazed that he could actually bring something from a dream. This has never scientifically been proven.
Yeah, I can't imagine you'd be able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be more along the lines of telepathic stuff.
Well, yeah. There's been incidences, too, where people have woke up with actual physical scars, physical
right.
bruises,
yeah,
bruising, and scrapes and stuff. Exactly. I've always wondered that. Is that something that you're doing to yourself, but your mind, you're in your dream? One of the things I believe is that if you're dreaming and you're in that deep, deep, deep sleep, that people can talk to you, people can do things and stuff like that, and it would incorporate into that dream because you're conscious mind is so focused into that dream there that everything becomes a part of it. It becomes reality for you.
As you saying that, mm-hmm. I did that with mom one time. With I was asleep one night, and I guess this is when I lived with my mom and dad, and I had been out with my friends and stuff, and the phone rang, and obviously my mom and I picked it up at the same time. And in my dream, I'm dreaming about what I was doing with my friends and stuff. Well, my mom is talking to me, and I'm talking to mom. I have no recollection of this, only because my mom told me about it later, that I was informing her. I don't even know who was on the other line. We never found that out. They probably thought we were both nuts, just so you know that. But I was informing her. I was still at the fair with all my friends and stuff. My mom started freaking out because this is like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, I have no recollection of it at all. But that was just kind of funny that I was able to carry on a full conversation with her. And I have no memory of it.
I've done that before with people, you know, that I know that are hard sleepers and stuff. When they like, I just kind of wake them up a little bit. It seemed like they're kind of awake, but they're really not awake. And I start talking to them. Sometimes they talk to conversation. And I'll just say stuff that don't even make any sense. Like, you know, hey, did you just see that pink car went through the living room? Yeah, it was driving really fast, wasn't it? Yeah, man, you know, and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, after a few seconds or so, or a few minutes, then I guess they wake up and like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't do that so much anymore, but
no. I haven't been asked about how many hamburgers I want in the middle of the night.
Or my mom had us so terrified that our little brother would get by the toilet and drown. That it was in my head all the time. Okay, so, I mean, yeah, you said you found some stuff that the boy brought back
a key
or something.
Yeah, and another one, woman said she grabbed somebody's hair in the dream and had hair in her hand when she woke up. But it could have been her own hair. I don't know.
Yeah, I just can't imagine you could pull. If somebody listening has pulled something from a dream, please message us, because I would love to hear your story.
Yes. I would love to see somebody get some kind of actual proof of that, if it was like some kind of video or something, you know.
Yeah.
It would have to be like a sleep study or something.
Exactly.
Yes, I mean, because of all these years... And of all this technology we've had for all these years, you know, it seemed like they would have found something by now on that.
Yeah, but it's so, the brain and how it works, there's no way to know when you would ever be to that point. I mean, I know they can tell when you're in deep sleep and when you're dreaming and stuff, but to actually monitor and be able to
do
something like that would be
hard. I do know from an unfortunate personal experience that you can be using the bathroom in your dream and actually use the bathroom in reality.
I too have done that.
Yes, I think we've all done
that.
only really? Number one.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so some of the other things we found are that dying in your dream indicates a phase of your life ending. And I think that's really interesting. That you want to begin a new phase and leave the past behind. It's a symbol of your fear of death. That's also interesting yes. because we're all, I think we all have a fear of death, whether people say they do or don't. They do, because it's a fear of the unknown. Like yeah. we talked about, you don't know what it's like to die, so you're scared of it. And it's not you that dies in your dream. It's the character you're playing. And that's also interesting to note, because it's really not us in our dream. We're dreaming about the us, maybe that we see ourselves as, or that we think other people see us as.
Yeah, because in my dream that I had, that kept coming back of me drowning and stuff like that, it was always back when I was a kid.
Right. You know?
And so before I really knew how to swim. And so I feared water. I feared water for a long time, because my fear was that I would slip down and wouldn't be able to get back out. You know, and once I learned how to swim, well, then that fear was gone. It's like, I ain't worried about it. I can swim. You know.
Right.
So I mean, in conclusion, I don't think we'll ever really know if you die in your dream, if you can die in real life, because obviously we won't be here to tell anyone if that happens.
That's my personal belief, that if you die in your dream, you would die in real life, because that would be the only way you'd be able to die in your dream. The only way your mind would be able to experience it. And I don't know if it's something where that image is stuck with you for forever, or if it's something that just goes for a little while until the brain itself is gone. You know, but the thing is, like you said, we'll never know. Because you can't, you know, you're not going to be able to come back and say, hey, I just died. Yeah. So you did, huh? Well, how was that? You
know? Well, I don't know. There have been some people who...
Yeah,
you know,
that happened.
No, I believe that people, you know, that there's the people can die and come back after a certain amount of time and stuff like that. It's happened time and time again, you know. You know, but as far as somebody being able to tell what it's like to die in a dream, I don't think we'll ever find that out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I believe that if you die in your dream, you've just died in your sleep. So.
All right. Well, I think this is a really fascinating topic. I think we covered it very well.
Right.
We want to say thank you to Bob and Sean as our co-hosts, and we hope you guys will be back at some point to when we just we're not going to let you come back to discuss Halloween. That's mine and Rhonda's thing.
Oh, yeah.
We
That's
love the
ours.
Halloween movies, and we don't need anybody trashing yeah. Michael Myers for it.
Michael's the best.
So anyway, we want to say thank you to Bob and Sean, and we hope you'll be with us again. And you are listening to Route 66 Fear Fix.